Hey everybody, welcome to yet another week and another attempt at the Doe and 5-0 show this week. I'm a little tired of the process today,
yeah,
Joe. A little tired of the process.
I can tell you're a little over it.
We had some technical difficulties, probably the worst we've had since week one, if I had to guess, this week. We lost pretty much everything. Audio was messed up.
Except the song.
Yeah, the song miraculously survived. What a shock. All right, with that being said, let's go ahead and dive into the headlines again. Federal guidelines, Joe, calling for keeping your home at 78 degrees in the summer.
You changed me up on this. That's not fair. I thought I was going to have comments this time, you son of a... All right, so...
So how cool do you like to keep your house in the summertime, Joe? What do you guys keep your thermostat at?
73.
Energy Star, which is a joint federal program run by the Department of Energy and the EPA, recommends that you keep your house at 78 degrees in the summer.
I don't know. Screw them.
When you're home.
Yeah.
It's all subjective, of course, but it does seem a little on the warm side. I mean, we keep ours at like 68. We keep it nice and cool. If you're not at home and have a programmable thermostat, the guidelines call for setting it at 85 degrees.
I thought they determined that that was actually that used more because of it going up and down.
One would think. According to Energy Star, at nighttime when you're sleeping, I really like it cool when I try and sleep.
Yeah.
82, they think your thermostat should be set at.
I don't think so. I would bet you anything, if you go to their homes, all these people that have come up with this great idea, I bet none of them follow this.
Well, they claim it'll save you a whopping 3% on your energy bill every
year.
Oh,
my Lord. Yeah.
That is hot, man. That's hot. I don't know how anybody could
too warm
stand
for me
to do that, so... All right, moving on. Going to one of our other favorite states. It's getting closer and closer to catching up with Florida, Joe. California, yes. A smuggler of erectile dysfunction medicine gets prison time. Out of Los Angeles, a Southern California man who smuggled $11 million worth of erectile dysfunction drugs into the U.S. from China has been sentenced to more than 8 years in federal prison for conspiracy and smuggling contraband. Prosecutors say the drugs sold by 41-year-old John Lee of Walnut were dangerous black market creations, falsely advertised as herbal remedies, and some customers suffered some permanent injuries. Lee was also ordered Monday to pay $550,000 in restitution to the victims. Prosecutors say from 2011 to 2017, Lee illegally imported powdered Buttafuoco, the active ingredient in the prescription drug Cialis. Lee made 5.5 million pills, some containing 14 times the level of the drug found in Cialis.
Oh, wow.
He pled guilty in February. More than a dozen other associates and companies have pleaded guilty as well to working on this with him. Man, 5.5 million pills this guy's pumped out.
Well, and all those companies that worked with him, so are they all in trouble too?
I would think. I don't know.
They're all from China.
China.
I'll be darned.
Mm. All right, going to move to Hicksville, New York, Joe. Hicksville, New York. Man impersonating a police officer pulls over a van full of cops.
Uh-oh.
A man impersonating an officer in a New York suburb made a real mistake when he decided to pull over a van. According to the Associated Press, Valerie Portlock actually tried to stop a van carrying a group of detectives.
Wait, what's his name?
Valerie.
It's a guy.
Yeah.
It's a guy named Valerie.
Yeah. The detectives identified themselves when he stopped them, and when they approached his car, police said the 25-year-old then swerved into oncoming traffic, sped on back onto the highway. That's where the highway patrol officers intervened and were able to catch up and arrest him. He's now facing charges of criminal impersonation and reckless endangerment.
Wonder what was he going to do? Was he just going to tell him to slow down? Were they speeding? Did they not have their seatbelts on?
There's no information about why he made his falsified traffic.
Well, that's stop. Just a half-ass article is what that is. I want more information.
You expect anything else from the media? I mean,
no, they've always given half the story. Why stop now? You're right.
Moving here to the home front, Johnson County, Indiana. Driver ticketed after throwing a dirty diaper out of the car, hitting police cruiser in the process. Driver's going to have to pay a fine for an unusual littering offense. Indiana State Police said a driver on I-65 in Johnson County was ticketed after throwing a dirty diaper out of a car window. Police say it not only happened in front of a state police trooper, but it actually hit the trooper's vehicle as well. Sergeant Stephen Wheels out of the Versailles District said, "Littering is always bad. Littering by throwing a used diaper out of the car window right in front of a police officer is asking for a ticket, especially when the diaper hit said police officer's cruiser. #press hard for 5 copies. #ew.
So if the good sergeant would have got out of the car and fired his weapon, he'd have been shooting the shit.
Yeah. Gross. I can move over to Wales, Joe. They're going to, the headline reads, new restroom facilities aimed to prevent sexual activity, smoking, and vandalism.
But that's what bathrooms are for.
I mean, I thought they'd like to get down and dirty in Wales, man. I don't know.
Apparently so.
British Park is replacing its public toilets with high-tech restrooms. The project, which in United States dollars equates to about $206,000, will replace Griffin Park's current facilities, which are said to have outlived their lifespan in both terms of functionality and aesthetics.
Just one, this is, how many bathrooms is that?
I don't know. Insane.
Once again, half a story.
Wales Online reports that people will have to pay to use these new restrooms, but the amount has not yet been decided. Pay to poop, man. Pay to poop. New security features include weight-sensitive floors to ensure only one person is inside the stall at a time, aiming to prevent vandalism and inappropriate sexual activity.
I'm kind of fat. They might think I'm two people.
Here we go. Any violent movement will automatically open the stall door, sound a high-pitched alarm, and activate a water jet to soak the restroom. Do not eat Taco Bell or White Castle before you go sit down in here.
That seems a little excessive, even if they are doing something that would jerk or cause a sudden movement.
Can you imagine sitting down on that thing? I mean, it literally would scare the shit out of you. Rough.
And, you know, paying for it, back in the day, you did pay to use a restroom. You remember? It's an old joke. You know, yeah. Somebody would use your bathroom. You say, leave a quarter on the toilet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. Equipment installed to help prevent smoking and drugs within the West restroom. Doesn't say what that means. Graffiti-resistant walls and floors. That could be interesting. An SOS button to open the doors automatically and alert authorities.
You know damn well I'd hit that thing on my way out. Sorry, everyone.
A restricted time entry to prevent sleeping inside the restroom.
Sometimes people take a book in there to relax. Of course, if they're getting soaked... and all the doors are open.
Help me. Don't say anything about life jackets. The restroom will close for 10 minutes each night and undergo a deep cleaning process. A whopping 10 minutes. And an outdoor defibrillator cabinet will be installed just in case of an emergency.
I wonder if the cleaning process, if they have like something built in where it just hoses the whole thing down.
I don't know. Maybe some type of infrared light or something that disinfects.
I'd like more information on that. This young man in this picture is he's interesting.
That's the look of a face, Joe, of a man that has shoved brisket down his pants.
Why would you? Never mind.
Out of Nashville, Tennessee, a Nashville man who's allegedly caught shoving beef brisket and propane bottles into his pants at a Walmart store has also been charged with assaulting a police officer. Officer said they were at a Walmart store on Dickerson Pike north of Nashville on an unrelated call when they observed John Ellen Honaker shoplifting on a security camera. When police in the store's loss prevention employee detained Honaker, they allegedly discovered he had placed two propane bottles in his pants along with some sliced beef brisket. The total volume of the items found in Honaker's pants was approximately $35.
How would you like to have someone tell you everything in your pants is worth $35?
They were like, score!
Inflation. That's more than I thought it was, but that's great.
While being transported to central booking, police say Honaker tried to kick out the windows of the police vehicle and slammed his head against the plastic partition, which separates the front and the back of the vehicle. The arresting officers called for backup and attempted to place a restraint on Honaker. That's when he allegedly tried to kick one of the officers in the head and the midsection.
It's not going to end well for you, sir.
Police said Honaker admitted to officers he'd been drinking and advised them to leave his drunk ass alone. He faces a misdemeanor charge of assaulting an officer.
Propane tanks and brisket.
Brisket.
He was planning a barbecue at home. But, you know, it's something When you bring people in, do a lot of people bash their heads on that thing if they're violent? Is that?
It's not. Yeah, I mean, it's happened in my car many times over the years.
You know, Pru Utilities, if you go there now, they set up these glass things now in front of all the thing. And they said it's amazing how many people smash their heads against it. I think that'd be great fun. I'd make a sport of that. I'd have a little tally mark going on the side every time somebody smacked their heads on it.
try to draw a target on the plexiglass up there. Your face here.
I'd put their pen, a pen that they would use, just a little bit inside of it so they don't think the glass is right there.
Police hunt on a hunt for a serial wedding crasher, Joe, in Texas, who steals gifts intended for newlyweds.
This has been done before.
You seen the movies Wedding, the movie Wedding Crashers?
Yes.
One of my favorite movies.
Vince Vaughn and who's that other guy he's always with?
Owen Wilson. Yeah. Police are asking for help in their search for a serial wedding crasher who attends ceremonies uninvited and then allegedly steals gifts intended for the unsuspecting couple. An unidentified woman authorities have dubbed the wedding crasher has been allegedly preying on unsuspecting newlyweds in Texas. According to a post from the Comal County Crime Stoppers, the Comal County Sheriff's Office needs the public's assistance in identifying the wedding crasher before she strikes again. Let's not let her ruin anyone else's special day and bring this crasher to justice.
Bring this crap to justice.
Yeah, police say the woman primarily stole envelopes of cash and gift cards.
Oh.
So there's surveillance video footage of her obtained by the authorities, which tracked down the location where she attempted to use one of the stolen gift cards. The sheriff's office is offering a $4,000 reward to the person who helps provide information leading to her arrest.
I always thought that'd be fun to get into a wedding and just dress up. Not to steal any of their gifts, but I thought it'd be fun to just dance and eat. And
yeah, I'd be going for the food, man.
Yeah, especially eat. I'm sorry. Yeah. Dancing's only if there's a lot of alcohol involved.
Is there an open bar? And is there free food? All right, Joe, that's all we got for the national news this week. It's time to move in.
Where are we going?
Time for Florida.
We love Florida.
Here we go.
Well, in Florida, cops stopped a young couple, asked if they had what they shouldn't by chance. Well, in a duffel bag, they found 41 turtles. An alligator was stuffed down her pants. What the hell is with Florida? Where all crazy shit seems to come from. A week won't pass by without lots of stories proving that Florida's dumb.
All right, everybody, welcome to This Week in Florida. I'm going to go ahead and roll things off, Joe, with this week with a Florida man who attacked a jogger with a sword after a dispute over trash. That's right. Out of Oakland Park, Florida, a jogger in Broward County saw a man approaching him with what he thought was a red stick. It was actually a sheath, and it was holding a sword. How did we get here, you ask? Well, it started on July 15th when the jogger came across a pile of garbage in front of a vacant house in his neighborhood. Another man was already digging through the trash heap when the jogger decided to stop and take a look for himself. Much to the chagrin of the other man, the jogger came across a black, heavy-duty dump cart and laid claim to it. Deputies said the other man felt he had the first rights to the cart because he was the first one rummaging through the pile. Both parties exchanged words, but in the end, the jogger simply wheeled the cart home as he ran behind it. That would have been the end of it, but deputies said the man followed the jogger. As he got closer, he then unsheathed his sword and cocked it back, ready to deliver a fatal blow if he didn't get his hands on the cart. The jogger then jumped back at first, allowing the man a brief moment to grab the cart, but before the man could get out of his yard, the jogger again grabbed the cart. A struggle began. With the sword in one hand and a sheath in the other, the man still somehow held onto the cart, but he seemed to lose motivation once the jogger pointed out the ordeal was being captured on his home surveillance camera. The two men argued again as the armed man left the area. Deputy said the man threatened to come back. It would have seemed to be over at this point, right?
You would think.
The jogger briefly left the cart unattended in his front yard. Minutes later, a woman swooped in and grabbed it. Investigators believe the woman and the sword-wielding man may possibly know each other. The jogger's surveillance footage shows the woman hurling insults at him, but he never pursued her. Deputies released the video on Monday with hopes that someone will recognize the man and leave them a tip. Anyone who could help investigators find the suspect should contact Detective Barbosa at 954-321-4278.
So, these other people can get in trouble for stealing garbage from somebody who took garbage?
I guess because technically, I don't know how it is in Florida. I mean, if you throw your trash out, It's kind of a free for all for somebody taking it, I guess.
Right, but then
he took it to his own private property.
Right.
I guess he's saying that it's now
it's his
property.
Right.
And the trash that he stole, I guess he's wanting some type of restitution for. I don't know.
You know what they should do down there? Get a job. There's a lot of jobs.
Here we go, Joe. Florida named one of the least friendliest states in the U.S.
Well, hell no. Well, with all the ketchup packets they're throwing and farts they're lighting, and they're just a terrible state.
A new survey ranks Florida near the bottom of the list when it comes to the friendliest states in the United States. Florida is ranked 42nd overall in Big Seven's travel list of states where people are actually the friendliest. It seems like Miami is the kind of the armpit of Florida. They're bringing them down. Rounding out the lower end of the spectrum, New York is ranked at 50, New Jersey at 46, Nevada 43. They all did rank below Florida in the friendly scale. But oddly, so were Delaware at 48 and Arkansas at 49. Top friendliest states, so the top 10 that are actually ranked friendly. Number one is Minnesota, 2 Tennessee, 3 South Carolina, 4 Texas, 5 Wyoming, Indiana landing at 6, Colorado 7, Kansas 8, Oklahoma 9, and Hawaii rounding out the top 10.
Hmm. We both have friends in Florida, don't we?
We do.
Yeah. Bonnie Beal, you're down there in Florida now. Todd Saylor, you're down there in Florida, but they're both transplants.
They don't live in Miami, do they?
No. No. I think Todd actually owns Florida.
Florida man accused of dumping dirt on a car girlfriend was driving after she refused to speak to him.
Well, serves her right.
Out of Crestview, Florida, a Florida man faces a felony charge after authorities say he used a front loader to dump dirt on a car his girlfriend was driving. Hunter Mills of Crestview got behind the wheel of the tractor after she showed up in someone else's 2010 Cadillac and won't answer a question. Unfortunately for the car's owner, the windows were down and the dirt covered the driver's side seat. It also got into the car's air vents, the power windows, center console. The incident left scratches all over the caddy. The 20-year-old now faces a felony count of criminal mischief because his girlfriend wouldn't talk to him.
You know, since I've heard this story 5 times already and I've had time to think, it's not like the boyfriend jumped into this front loader with cat-like reflexes and barreled over there. She had time, 2010 caddy, you have automatic windows. She had time not only to leave, but she had time to roll up the windows, and she didn't. So that seems a little fishy now. Yeah. All right.
Florida man arrested after chugging a $7 bottle of wine in Walmart bathroom.
Ah, very romantic. I wonder if he had candlelight.
A local Florida man was arrested at Walmart after police say he stuffed a $7 bottle of wine down his pants, chugged the cheap booze in a store bathroom, then tried to leave without paying. Ty Kelly, age 55, was arrested by Pinellas Park police on Wednesday on a petty theft charge after police say he stole a $6.98 bottle of wine. Kelly was inside a Walmart store on US 19 when he allegedly tucked the bottle of Barefoot Riesling wine into his pants and headed straight to the bathroom. While in the bathroom, he allegedly drank the entire bottle and then tossed the empty container into the trash before leaving the store. At least he's cleaning up after himself.
Yeah.
Kelly was stopped by loss prevention workers who then contacted local police. He was booked into the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office jail where he's being held on a $250 bond. According to WTSP News, Kelly has an extensive criminal record, including burglary, DUI, battery, and a possession charge.
Perhaps if he would have robbed somebody first, he would have had the $6.98 to buy the wine.
At least he went for the good stuff.
Yes, he did. You know, think about walking to Walmart and throwing a whole bottle of wine in your pants. How exactly does that work? Is that very inconspicuous?
Look at all the crap these people are putting in their pants. They're putting alligators and they're putting wine. We've had brisket. We've had
propane tanks.
We've had it's nuts.
Well, not only what's in their pants, but in their hoo-ha.
Yeah. Weird place, man.
Lots of money.
Man uses roach spray and nunchucks to quiet down his neighbors, according to police report.
It works every time.
Out of Daytona Beach. Daytona Beach police say they've arrested a man on suspicion he used nunchucks and roach spray on his neighbors. Officers say Larry Adams intentionally sprayed 5 people, then threatened to shoot them on Monday. Two witnesses told police they originally left their apartment on the 400 block of North Charles Street to tell neighbors to lower the volume of the music coming from the car outside of their building. The people inside of the car told officers they were celebrating an 18th birthday of one of them. Adams also left his apartment around 1 a.m. and was verbally combative with the group by the car. Victims told police Adams cursed and made threats to the group, even threatening to shoot them. The group then began to argue with Adams, and that's when the 61-year-old pulled out a can and sprayed the neighbors with roach spray.
He was ready.
Adams then proceeded to threaten the victims with nunchucks.
Where do you think he got this can of roach spray? Do you think it was in his pants?
I was more wondering that about the nunchucks. I don't know.
He had all the shit in his pants. I know he did.
The victims evaded the attack, and instead, Adams then struck the car. The victims evaded the attack with the nunchucks, which caused Adams to strike the car. The nunchucks then bounced back off the car and struck him in the forehead.
That sucks. Well, not for us. For him, it sucks, though.
Adams opted to call 911 along with the victims. Officers said they found Adams with cuts to his forehead from the nunchucks bouncing off the car and back into his face. Upon checking his home, they found one nunchuck, one can of pepper spray, and one empty can of roach spray.
And some brisket.
A silver box containing a loaded semi-automatic handgun magazine and projectiles inside of a sock on Adams' bed next to where a child was sleeping. Police arrested him on aggravated battery and aggravated assault charges. He's now being held in the county jail.
Instead of the roach spray, maybe if you'd have brought the semi-automatic weapon, you'd have gotten a lot more accomplished.
I want to see some video of this nunchuck bouncing off the car and smacking it in the
face.
You
know somebody has that. That'd be...
With that slow motion.
If that's not something that would happen to me.
All right, here's the story that inspired your musical masterpiece this week. Florida woman pulls gator from her pants during a stop. Out of Punta Gorda, Florida, officials say a Florida woman who pulled a small alligator from her yoga pants during her traffic stop and illegally possessed numerous other wild animals has been sentenced to probation after pleading guilty to four charges. Florida prosecutors say a Charlotte County Sheriff's deputy stopped a pickup truck in May after it ran a stop sign. The driver, 22-year-old Michael Clemens, told the deputy he and his 25-year-old passenger, Ariel McIn-LaQuire, we're collecting frogs and snakes under an overpass. He gave the deputy permission to search bags in the truck. When the deputy found 41 three-striped turtles in a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle backpack, he asked if LaQuire had anything else. She then proceeded to pull a one-foot alligator from her pants. The officials say the Clemens case is, in fact, pending. A one-foot alligator out of her yoga pants.
Her yoga pants. Her yoga pants are skin-tight, and I'm not hiding anything pants. Oh, are you hiding anything? No. Come on. And he said they were catching frogs and snakes, and they have 41 effing turtles, but no frogs and snakes.
And the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle backpack.
And a gator in her pants.
Just when you think you've seen everything. We have octopuses on face last week and alligators in yoga pants this week.
I love Florida. Thank you, Florida. Thank you so much.
Strange place, man. Strange place. I get to go there in October.
Yeah, on purpose.
And my wife's making me.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, she's beautiful.
She is. It's now time for our last segment this week. This week in political garbage.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right, everybody. Welcome to This Week in Political Garbage. Joe, last week we spent quite a bit of time on the conspiracy theory of one Jeffrey Epstein's sudden passing in a federal prison.
Yes, I can't believe the man committed suicide.
We're still here alive to talk about it this week, so yay, yes.
he doesn't look like a pervert, does he?
No, not at all.
I look at Bill Clinton, I go, you're a pervert. But Epstein, he looks like a regular guy. Hey, can I borrow $5? I'll bring it back in a little bit. All right. Yeah. I didn't know he'd find some child prostitutes with it.
Well, we're going to put the painting up here. This is, in fact, a real painting, ladies and gentlemen. It's certainly a conversation starter. Jeffrey Epstein had an oil painting of Bill Clinton in a blue dress lounging on a chair in the Oval Office, hanging up in his Manhattan townhouse, according to law enforcement officials. It was hanging up there prominently as soon as you walked in a room direct to the right. According to everybody who saw it, they laughed and smirked, but the bizarre home decor did not stop there. Epstein, 66 when he passed away, also kept a mannequin hanging from the ceiling, dressed up in a wedding gown, the source said, noting how the doll was situated above the staircase.
You know what? Knowing Bill Clinton, the mannequin bothers me a lot more than the picture of our president in a blue dress and red heels.
Well, this was at Epstein's place, not Clinton's.
No, I know, but that if I walked into Epstein's place, I'm more bothered by the mannequin than I am by our president.
Yeah, you think that's probably normal behavior. A woman who visited Epstein's $56 million home confirmed the existence of the Clinton painting to the Daily Mail.
Why was she visiting his home?
I don't know. But didn't mean that she did not mention the mannequin. She was able to snap a picture of the painting, which was posted online on Wednesday. In it, the former president can be seen lounging on a chair in the side of the Oval Office, pointing towards the viewer while wearing red heels and a blue dress, similar to Joe, to the one that Monica Lewinsky famously donned during their White House hookup.
Oh, in the Oval Office?
Yeah.
Oval Office? Oval Office.
Oval.
Yes.
Oval.
Oval. That's what I meant to say.
So, did you see the headlines where he, his autopsy showed that he had multiple fractures in his neck?
Were they related to the hanging?
Could be or could not be in collusion with the someone hanging themselves.
How can they not know? How can they not know? Whatever he used to hang himself, that rope that apparently showed up in the room, the fact that he only had this much room to hang himself, whatever.
Yeah.
But did he use a bed sheet? Did they ever say what he used?
I've never
seen. Shoestrings, whatever.
Yeah.
How can they not know if they go along? That's what they do. Isn't this their job? I've watched Quincy a million times. He would know.
Yeah. Moving on to more idiocracy, Joe. City councilor wants to disarm police officers claiming duty weapons, escalate violence.
Why is she touching herself?
I don't know. It's probably,
all right.
Maybe it's her safe place. I don't know. Out of Burlington, Vermont, a local lawmaker has proposed the idea of disarming the Burlington police force.
A fine idea.
Claiming that when the officers carry their duty weapons, they escalate the level of violence within the city limits.
They do.
How much is the lethal force? Is it really causing at the end of the day? Is it more harm than benefit? According to Burlington City Councilor Perry Freeman. Freeman claimed that officers perpetuate violence when they carry their duty weapons.
Yes.
It actually escalates the violence in our communities, according to the councilor.
Mm.
It does not encourage people to be less violent.
Mm-mm.
During a recent city council meeting, Freeman floated the idea of disarming officers so that they more closely resemble the unarmed police forces she witnessed during her time in Iceland. Freeman acknowledged that police need firearms at times, but argued that such instances are very rare.
Very rare.
The day in and out of police work is not engaging with that.
Mm.
She's an expert.
Yes, she is.
She said that the most important goal is to charge the culture of policing and to alter practices that contribute to the problem, such as racial inequality.
Yes, that's what it's all about. That's what, yeah, she's on it.
Burlington Police Officers Association President Daniel Gilligan said there are very few places in the world that have opted to disarm their police forces, and for good reason.
To show up
to an unarmed incident unarmed, he said in disbelief. I can't think of anything more disadvantaging than that.
The man was trying to sound professional, wasn't he? He was trying really hard not to say, she is so stupid.
Freeman said that her proposal would not be an overnight process and that it would take time to change the way the police department operates. It's a gradual program, she told the local news station. It's talking about how do we really shift and talk about doing things differently in a way that might be better in the long run.
Oh, yeah.
Freeman said that she did not intend to offend any law enforcement officers with her ideas and claimed that her goal is to keep her people safe.
She offended nobody. Everyone just thinks she's an idiot. Okay, first of all, her name is Perry. Second of all, she needs to move back to Iceland where it's safe.
Yeah.
And nobody carries guns.
I wonder how this idea of hers would work if one of Burlington's criminals would break into her home in the middle of the night and...
The police would come and throw bread at him.
It's my silly string. It's time to get it on.
Stop it! Stop it! Go away!
You can't fix stupid. You can't fix stupid.
What's next? Next, I don't think the military should carry weapons.
Yeah.
That just escalates the violence. We need to stop the violence.
You know, the
Where is she? What the hell is wrong with her? She's from Florida, isn't she?
I don't know where she's from. She's from not of this planet, I think.
I don't know.
These people with these insane softening stances on everything, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about it before, and it's been a while, I guess, since we've touched on the softening of America, I guess. But
no, it was actually just yesterday.
Just yesterday. You guys didn't see that. But, you know, we have talked in it, really, when the show first kind of started, I think we talked on it a couple times, but...
Nobody listened to that, so...
You know, it's... This crap here, you know, let's disarm our police officers. Let's make everything sunshine and rainbows. College campuses with their safe places and... holy cow, you know? all these freaking diseases that people say they have now that you never heard about before, oh, and all the mental disabilities that people all of a sudden have that, well, they existed 100 years ago. People just didn't do anything about it. Maybe. I don't know. But people learned how to cope a hell of a lot better back then than they do now.
Yeah.
You know, when you're throwing a fit because mom and dad tell you you got to go somewhere and you start throwing a temper tantrum and you got tears running down your face.
No, oh my
and
gosh.
And you're freaking 16, 17, 18 years old and you don't want to do something. Get a grip, man. Life hasn't even begun. Hasn't even come close to start
you know
beating
what,
you down
though?
Yet.
Those 16, 17-year-old, 18-year-old kids that are doing that, it's not their fault. They haven't had to grow up. Their parents aren't smacking them down. I can't. I tell people this day, if I go into a place and there's a lady behind me, especially a lady, and I don't hold that door open. My dad's been gone for a couple of years. I know damn well if I didn't hold that door open, dad would come out of somewhere, just smack me upside the head.
Yeah.
Is it fear? Dad was 77 when he went. I'm still afraid of him.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a healthy, respectful fear, if that makes sense to you. And you understand that.
Right.
And that's not around anymore. And remember Dad punished me once, and I was so mad. I say once like it happened infrequently. I was a troubled child. But Dad came to my room and he said, you're doing this, you're doing what I tell you right now because you're afraid of me because I'm a lot bigger than you are. And he said, one day you'll do it out of respect. Never forgot that. And he's exactly right. It's just, I respected. It's about respect. That's what's missing now is respect.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and you see it with all these news clips and headlines and the crap that comes across YouTube of these, you know, a lot of times it's kids, but there's also just as many guilty adults that have these rallies and different about different things they're pissed off about and getting up in people's faces. And, you know, from a law enforcement standpoint, it really irritates me when they get up in a cop's face and screaming and, you know, they start fighting and everything. And it's, there's zero respect for any person of authority in this country anymore. Unless it's somebody that they feel like should be in the authority position. So, you know, when Hillary lost that last election, oh my God, you know.
Trump's not my president.
Yeah, bullshit. If you live in the United States, he's your president. I didn't like Obama, but he's still my president, right? So I respected the position that the man was in. I didn't like the job he was doing.
Right.
But I respected the position of the office.
We've talked about that before. Even if Hillary Clinton walked in here right now, I'd guard my neck. But after that, I would stand up. Even though I think she's a terrible, terrible person, I respect the position she's held.
Right.
Maybe Hillary was a bad example. But yes, it's like that. I didn't care for Obama as probably. I thought he was a great speaker.
Yeah. So was Hitler.
He was. Now Trump, on the other hand, is a terrible speaker.
Even but he does an excellent job of firing people up one way or the other. So.
Oh my God, yeah, he's.
But you know, even going back to the, especially with the younger generation, and I'm not saying that that's the entire generation, but it's there's a lot of younger kids now that they just can't handle any type of rejection at all, any type of discipline at all. You know, if they're told to do something and they don't want to do it, the meltdowns begin. And I can't wrap my head around it because if I would have acted that way, just like you, I would have gotten my head knocked right off my shoulders.
Just the stuff like kids, you know, with their phones in school.
Yeah, and it's mind-boggling to me. And it seems like, at least the school district my kids go to, teachers, it's left up to the teachers if they're going to permit the phones in the classroom or not.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, if they say no, the kids will bring them in anyway.
Yeah, and then I don't know how they handle discipline from there, since everybody has their own different rules. But,
right.
You know, even like the sporting teams, it's, you know, the crap where, you know, if you play in a tournament or in a game and you lose and you still get some type of participation trophy or ribbon, that pisses me off.
Oh,
it really does. I'm sorry, you lost. Get over it. That's a learning experience.
Right.
Work harder. Get better.
See if you can.
That's what really irritates me about the, you know, a lot of these kids now, because I coached basketball for about 5 or 6 years. And that was a learning experience for me. I learned from the kids just like they would learn from me. But one of the irritating things that I would see out of some of these kids is there's no work ethic outside of practice. You know, they would give me maybe a half-assed effort in practice. They only cared about the games. And, you know, if you would bench them because they weren't applying themselves, or they were showing their ass out on the floor or something like that,
right.
Which really irritated the crap out of me too. Well, I'm the best player on the team. Maybe, but you don't have the most heart, and you're not doing what you're told.
Allen Iverson.
Yeah. You talking practice. About practice?
Practice.
But, you know, it does, and it kind of worries me. You know, I like the Olympics. I enjoy the Olympics every time they roll around and watching the competitions.
Yeah, because they're amateurs.
Yeah, and that, you know, if you've made an Olympic team, regardless of what it is, you know that human being has worked, basically dedicated their entire life
yeah.
to making that team, and it is their goal. Their only goal is to win a medal for their country.
Yeah.
And I kind of worry about the U.S. from the trends I'm seeing, at least, you know, around our area where we live, because these kids, they don't have that work ethic. They
seems like there's the ones, now there's just more of a line. The ones that do try
yeah.
and work really hard, the ones that never will. And they're the ones that are going to skate through life. It's different. It's different.
It's very different, you know.
But I have to blame my generation. Our generation is the one that was raising the kids that are this age now that are acting like that. So, not that I did, not that people that I know, but if I'm looking at the kids right now, who's okaying this? Who's okaying yeah. this kind of behavior?
Well, you know, and unfortunately, a lot of people buy into anything that the social media tells them is right or
oh
wrong.
My gosh,
you know?
Yes.
They don't seem to have the capability to think to themselves, well, social media says I should never touch my kids if they've done something wrong. I'm sorry, but it's bullshit.
Right.
There's still discipline. It's still allowed in this country. You can, you know, if your kid's being a jackass, you can still discipline your kid. It's mm-hmm. okay. But, you know, it's crazy to me when, you know, if I get called to a house because, and this has happened plenty of times before, where I've got a 5, 6, 7-year-old kid out of control, mom and dad can't control him.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, really. It's like, hello, be your parent. Step up,
right.
Be the parent, do what you got to do to get the kid under control.
My 15-year-old won't do what I told her.
Yeah.
Well, she's 15, so, you know, you're bigger.
Yeah.
You can take her in a fight.
It's crazy to me, you know, and I do worry about the future of the country just because of the lack of work ethic a lot of these kids have. They think everything, you know, and they've grown up with social media. Their whole life has revolved around social media. Everything's been at the touch of their fingertips, has been available to them, and, you know, they post a picture on Instagram, say, and they immediately want 200 likes within an hour or something stupid, you know, and who cares, you know? I don't care. I know that the younger kids do, but it's amazing to me how much stock they take in, how many people are liking something that they put on social media, and how quickly they do it.
Right.
But, you know, I think the Olympics, I think if you tend to watch it, you know, whenever they roll around again, I kind of wonder how much longer at least our country will be competitive with the others that maybe don't live off of the electronical devices and social media, and they dedicate their lives to getting better, you know.
Are we falling behind at all right now, or?
I don't know. I guess I'd have to go back and look at stats and see how, you know, how we're averaging, I guess, over the last couple of times. But
seems like, I don't know, everyone's juicing now, and yeah. It's how they mask it.
But, you know, you look at professional athletes now, and it's...
I'd rather not.
Right. I mean, I hardly watch any pro sports anymore. Just, you know, I used to love to watch the NFL, and then they started that whole kneeling nonsense.
Oh, I know.
Making it all political. And
that's really,
you know,
spoiled
the NBA,
it for me, too.
I can't even stand to watch that at all anymore because of the
show.
Did you
hear what Antonio Brown... He's with the Raiders now because he's such a big baby in Philadelphia, so they traded him off. And they're changing helmets because it helps with concussion. It helps lack of concussion, not help a concussion. But he doesn't like that helmet, so he said he'll retire.
See ya.
Before it's like, are you effing kidding me? Are you really? This is the only thing you can do in your whole life, okay?
Because
I know you're
dollars.
Not smart enough to get a real job.
But, I mean, can you imagine that? You know, you're talking about the work ethic, and, you know, somebody like that, he's just making an ass out of himself, trying to put his name in the headlines. And,
yeah.
You know, then you had guys, you know, when we were younger, that they loved what they did. You know, you're Michael Jordan, who got cut from his basketball team his freshman year worked his ass off, came back, and ultimately retired as the greatest, probably the greatest of all time, and to play in the NBA.
Look at Larry Bird.
Larry Bird, slowest. He
got signed to Indiana originally, didn't he? He went to Bloomington for a little bit.
But he didn't like it because it was too big.
It was too big of a place for him. He went to Indiana State then.
Went to the national championship.
And that was after a while. He was out for a while, wasn't he? Yeah. Wasn't he out of college for a while? And the biggest, slowest, non-jumpiest guy I've ever seen. I didn't even like the way he dribbled. And you'd think, that guy can't do anything. He'd put something up behind his back, around his shoulder, between his legs, and just went in.
He eats, slept, and breathed basketball.
That
was his life.
He knew that game.
And that's what I mean. You know, I miss seeing that out of athletes now. You just don't see it. It's everything is, you know, has my name been in? You know, have they blown me up on Facebook? Have I been on ESPN?
Have been on
the cover of Sports Illustrated?
They make a shot, and they get onto the floor by themselves. So they take a picture. Football players do that all the time, too. They make a sack. They run out a couple of yards, so the cameras are just on them. It's is it a team sport or not?
Yeah. For a lot of players now, it's not. It doesn't seem, what can you do for me? You know, not what can I do for my team? What can you do for me? So.
And people will say, well, they only have a couple of years to play, whatever. Thing is, one contract, your first contract, unless you're a seventh-round pick, will get you through the rest of your life if you're good with your money. Yeah. And you actually got that college education that was free. But judging by their interviews, they didn't go to class.
How they got a degree, that's for you to figure out, I guess. So.
I don't know.
But again, you know, this all comes back, you know, circling back around to this lady and her softening the stance on the police officer take. It's out of control at this point. It completely is. And I worry about the country moving forward, you know, with this generation that's growing up now.
If somebody wants to
attack the United States, I don't know that we're going to be strong enough to withstand it.
Nobody will have a weapon.
Nobody have a weapon.
So, but I still say this has all happened before. I still say this is a throwback from the 60s and 70s. That it's all going to come around. I think there will be. I think it will come back around. I think the next generation is going to see this. They're not going to like it. We're all going to be fine. Those guys that grew up in the 60s and 70s are the ones that are leading the country right now. That's why socialism's getting headlines right now and stuff like that. And they're going to go away and it's going to start over. We're going to be fine. Everything's fine. Have a donut.
We'll see. All right, folks, well, we rambled on enough about the political crap this week. We will see you guys next week. Take care.
See you later.